Today's daf is Ervin Daf Chav Gimel. We are holding on Daf Chav Beis on Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Beis on Beis. Our topics for today are going to be that we will first discuss which types of water sources are eligible to have Pasei Biraos. There are two factors that go into figuring out the eligibility for Pasei Biraos. Number one, whether it's a type of water source that might dry up, or it's a Mayim Chayim that's not going to dry up. It's a running spring that won't dry up. And number two, whether there are many people that will use it, or it's just something that's used by a yachid. When there are many people that will use it, if it does dry up, people will remind each other not to rely on the Pasei Biraos. So those are the two factors that will go into figuring that out. And then the Mishnah Namar Aleph on Chav Gimel Namar Aleph is going to have three sections. First, it's going to discuss what a karpif needs inside of it to be permissible to carry in it. Second, it's going to discuss how rectangular a karpif can be, and as opposed to square. And finally, it teaches three chidushim that Rabbi Lai says here from Rabbi Lazar about different issues that go to a whole bunch of different topics, and therein we will find our Dafyomi coincidence of the day, because we're going to have right in the middle of Erevin, out of nowhere, a discussion of Marar, of a min that you're allowed to use for Marar, and then the Gemara is going to find the source in the Chumash for the maximum size of a karpif, and the Daf is going to conclude with a discussion of a karpif that was designated for living purposes, but then major parts of it were planted with vegetables or trees, and how that those plantings may affect the halacha of carrying in that karpif. So let's begin with the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Echad bar harabim, ube'er harabim, ube'er hayachid, oslan pasin. As we mentioned before, there are two factors that go into figuring out the nature of a water source that you might want to put Pasei Biraos around. Factor number one is it a bar or a be'er? Is it just a pit where water gathers and therefore water may just as easily dry up? Or is it a be'er? Is it a spring where water is always going to constantly be coming in there? Obviously, being a bar is a griusa. That's something that's a negative, because if the water might dry up at any moment, so you don't want to rely on Pasei Biraos, you may end up not having water in there. Being a be'er is a malyusa. That's a positive. The other factor is it used by rabim or is it used by a yachid? Being used by rabim is a positive, because if it were to dry up, at least there are other people there to remind you and tell you, no, it dried up, make sure you don't carry in this area. Whereas if it's used by a yachid, no one is there to remind you. So the Tanakhama says that three out of the four situations are okay, you're allowed to use pasim. Meaning, as long as you have one factor working in your favor, it's either used by a rabim, or it has spring water, so as long as either one of those things is true, you're allowed to rely on Pasei Biraos around it. And certainly if both of those things are true, and that's why a Be'er HaRabim, which is the best, is also on this list. Bar HaRabim, Be'er HaRabim, and Be'er HaYachid, all those situations also on Pasin. Aval Bar HaYachid, but when you have Tarti L'Reyusa, when you have two things working against you, it's only a bar that has gathered water that could dry up at any moment, and it's only of a yachid, osnam mechitza gavah asar tefachim, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Then you need to make a real mechitza. Then you need to build a 10 tefach wall around it. That is Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava omer, enos and pasin ela lebe'er harabim bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, no, of the four possible permutations, the only time you're allowed to make pasi biraos is if you have tarti lemal yusa, is if it's a be'er and it's a rabim, it's a running spring, and it's used by a lot of people. Only then can you rely on Pasei Biraos. L'shar osun chagura gavoh asar tefachim. For anything else, you make a belt around it that's 10 tefachim tall, which we expected it to say, l'shar osun mechitza gavoh asar tefachim. You should make a mechitza around the 10 tefachim, but all of a sudden it turns the lashon to chagura. So if you look at Tosos, chagura says Tosos two words, one of the shortest Tosos in the Shas, pirish mechitza. Chagura over here means mechitza, means the same thing. The machlokesh Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ben Bava is about which of the four possible cases are you allowed to rely on Pasei Biraos. But the machlokesh is not about what kind of mechitza you need when you don't have Pasei Biraos. Everyone would say you need a real mechitza. Chagura is just another way of saying mechitza. If you look at Rashi though, says Rashi, chagura hekif shel chavalim. Chagura means a mechitza made out of rope, meaning that you just have ropes running across within three tzvachim of each other, so they have lavud, but you don't have shesivarev. You don't have the ropes going in both directions, and therefore it's not a mechitza ma'aliyasa. It's a lower level kind of mechitza. So the way the Ritva understands Rashi is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ben Bava argue on 2 points over here. Not only do they argue about when you can rely on Pase Biraos, they argue in a situation when you cannot rely on Pase Biraos, what do you need to put around that that area in order to be able to carry there? Rabbi Akiva says Mechitza would, who says Mechitza would not allow a rope partition, you would need Shesi Va'arev, and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava would say Chavalim is good enough, you could have ropes surrounding it as well. The Tosa Rush says that it's difficult to assume, it's not Mistaver, the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava argue on this point as well, that Rabbi Yehuda would require Hakavas Chavalim, Rabbi Akiva says Mechitza shall Kanim. It's not Mistaver that they're arguing on this point as well. Maybe they're just giving different examples of types of Mechitzos, but maybe Rabbi Akiva also would agree. Now again, Tosos sounds like he disagrees with Rashi, and that when we say chagura, we mean it actually has to be a real mechitza. In the Sefer Lashon HaZahav, he writes that Tosin and Rashi are not disagreeing with each other. Rashi is just explaining the Shinoi HaLashon. The Rabbi Kiva says, a bar hayachid, you make a mechitza, whereas Rabbi Ben Bava says, you make a chagura. So Rashi says, chagura means chavalim, and we already learned in Daf Tazayinam and Beis that chavalim are mutter dafka b'shayara v'lo b'yachid. That if you have a caravan of people, you're allowed to use such a low-level type of mechitza that relies on lava that really is only made up of horizontal parts. So Rabbi Akiva speaks about a bar hayachid. You have to keep in mind, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that the only time you need a mechitza is for a bar hayachid. So if it's only being used by an individual, so it's not a shayara, it's not a caravan of people, so then you taka need a good mechitza. You can't rely on chavalim for that type of situation. So you need dafka mechitza. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who says that when do you need this mechitza? Even by a bar harabim, you need this kind of mechitza. So for a bar harabim, you can use chavalim, you can use a mechitza. It's made up 100% of horizontal partitions. The only difficult is what Bava tells us over here with that possibility is Rabbi Ben Bava wasn't only speaking about a bar harabim, he was also speaking about a be'er hayachid, he was also speaking about everything except for be'er harabim, right? He's talking about a be'er hayachid, a bar harabim, and a bar hayachid, right? So since he was talking about everything except for be'er harabim, he should have said that you need a mechitza, because the only case you don't need a mechitza where you could get away with chavalim is when it's used by the rabim. So that's why Tosfos says chagura has to be mechitza. That meaning to say, not that he disagrees with Rashi, but the lashon of chagura can mean both. And he uses that lashon to show that in some of these cases you can have a purely horizontal partition, and in others of these cases it has a din of shayara, and it doesn't have a din of shayara rather, and you need a full-fledged mechitza. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who's the one that said that you only are allowed to rely on pasin when you have tarti l'mal yusa, when you have both factors working in your favor. It's a be'er and it's used by rabin. V'amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Lo hutru pasi biraos ela lebe'er mayim chayim belvad. We only allow pasi biraos for a spring of water, not for just gathered water in a bar. It has to be a be'er mayim chayim. So wait a second. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel already taught us, so we pass on Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Why does Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel then have to tell us that we only allow pasi biraos for be'er mayim chayim? Telling us we pass on Rav Yehuda ben Bava includes the psak that it's got to be a be'er mayim chayim, plus the psak that it has to be a rabbin. So what's he adding? So it says Gemara Tzricha, we need both psakim over here. Di'iash min alach Rabbi Ben Bava hava min et rabbin v'afilu mechunasin. If you just would have said that the alach is like Rabbi Ben Bava, I would have thought that on which issue is he passing like Rabbi Ben Bava? Only on the issue of rabbin, that it needs to be something that's used by the rabbin. But he's not really so makbid that it be a be'er as opposed to a bar. Maybe a bar is good enough also. V'aydiktani be'er ha-rabbin, and the only reason he says be'er ha-rabbin lafukim mid Rabbi Akiva is to say, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that you only need one of the two factors, either a be'er or Rabim. So he says, no, there's only one factor that matters. The only factor that matters is whether it's a Rabim or a Yachid. So that's what I would have thought, that Rabbi Ben Bava really only means to say that there's one factor that matters, Rabim versus Yachid, and that's it. And that's what we're paskening like. So Kamash Mulan, that's why Rav Yosef Amrido Mershmal had to tell me, that it's not just the factor of Rabim versus Yachid that's important, the other factor is also important, that it has to be a spring of water rather than just gathered water. V'yashmin and be'er mayim chayim, and had it told me be'er mayim chayim, hava min aloshnat rabim, veloshnat yachid. I would have thought it doesn't matter whether it's rabim or yachid, that the other factor doesn't matter so much. If you're only going to paskin about be'er mayim chayim, I would think that the factor of who's using it doesn't matter nearly as much. So kamash malan, halach k'rbid ben bava. That's why you had to tell me that the halach is a k'rbid ben bava, that we care about rabim versus yachid also, and not just about bar versus be'er. Period. So that's how we pass like Rabbi Ben Bava. That's the Gemara. So says the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is a fairly detailed Mishnah. It has many different parts, and it's easy to get confused in terms of the parts. Let's just clarify. There are three distinct parts to the Mishnah. First, the Mishnah is going to discuss if a karpif is a karpif which is an enclosed area that's not used for day-to-day living, a karpif that's not hukaf ledira. You surrounded it with some sort of mechitza, but not ledira, not for the sake of day-to-day living. If it's 70 plus amos by 70 plus amos, the equivalent of a beis asayim or less, so it's a three machlokas, what else you need aside from it being 70 plus by 70 plus amos or less. What else is required in order to be allowed to carry in it? Again, if it's not hukaf ledira and it's under beis asayim, so what else is necessary? We're going to have the first part of the mission is a three-way machlokas. What else is necessary? So let's see the first part first. Va'od amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. In addition to what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava taught in the last Mishnah about when pase bira usar mutar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava taught something else. Hagina var karpif shein shivim amav v'shirayim al ayin amav v'shirayim. If you have a gina and a karpif that are 70 plus amos by 70 plus amos, which is a way of saying a base asayim in a square shape instead of a rectangular shape. A base asayim in a rectangular shape is 50 by 100. So when you square it, it's 70 plus by 70 plus. Hamukafos geder gavoa asara tfachim, surrounded by a real fence, 10 tfachim tall, mitaltlum betocha, you're allowed to carry in there. Now, what other requirement does it need? Ubilvad sheyeheba shomira obezdira oshete smucha le'ir. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says it also needs either a watchman's booth, a small home in there, or it's at least got to be close to the city. It's got to be samach le'ir. What does it mean? Why does samach le'ir help? Says Rashi, the whole v'krov l'beis odaitu l'shamish batamid ukukav l'dira dami. Since it's close to your house, you intend on using it all the time, and that's what makes it hukaf l'dira. The fact that it's samach le'ir makes it hukaf l'dira. So again, in addition to it being 70 plus by 70 plus or less, and having a mechitza around it, first shita is Rabbi Ben Bava, it needs a watchman's booth, a small home, some clear, something that makes it hukaf ledira. That even though it's not really, you wouldn't think that it's hukaf ledira, it's not for normal dira use. Once it has one of these things, that's called hukaf ledira. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, second shita, Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu ein ba'al labar v'shiach ma'ara metalta metocha. All it needs for it to get the status of hukaf ledira is some sort of water source in there. Bar shiach ma'ara, doesn't make a difference. Some sort of water source in there, that's enough for it to be considered hukaf ledira. Third shita, Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu ein ba achas mikalelu metaltel metochel b'vat shiye ba shiv mama v'shirayim al shiv mama v'shirayim. It doesn't need anything other than being no larger than 70 plus by 70 plus amos. It doesn't need anything in the carpet. But unlike the Tanakama, he will not allow carrying in an area that is a full 5,000 square amos. We're going to see that in the Gemara. That where Rabbi Akiva veers from the Tanakama is that if it equals exactly a base asayim, he's going to say, well, that's already too big if it's exactly a base asayim. Tanakama held exactly a base asayim or less is the same. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it has to be It has to be a drop under a base assignment, drop under 5,000 square amos. That is the first part of the Mishnah. So three shittos, what you need in addition to being 70 plus by 70 plus amos or less, and surrounded by mechitzos, in order to be able to carry in this area. Now, where do we get the number 70 plus by 70 plus amos? So we get it from the Chatzar Mishkan, which was 50 amos by 100 amos, so that's the base assign. That's the shear base assign. Says Tosfos, why do we learn from the Mishkan? V'im tomar, v'leilith mehara bais, a little Tosfos, but a lot said on this Tosfos. Why don't we learn from the Harabayis, the Ezras Nashim, meaning learn from the base of Migdash? The Ezras Nashim was 135 Amos, the Ezras Yisrael 187 Amos. Why don't we learn from these other areas? Why do we dafka learn from the Chatzar of the Mishkan? So Tosfos says two Terutzim. Number one, he says, V'yeshlomer dekalmili de Shabbos mi Mishkan Gamrinan. Anything we learn, mi Mishkan Gamrin Lahu, anything about Shabbos, we always learn from the Mishkan. The Mishkan is our source for everything about Shabbos. Inami ha'azoros chashivi mukafel nadira shayu shomrim ba kol alayla. That the azoros were considered to be hukaf ledira because there was always guards there all night. Meaning we can't learn from the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash was hukaf ledira. Our mission is about a case of something that's not really hukaf ledira. What do you need in order to make it considered like it's hukaf ledira? So this din of a karpik that's not hukaf ledira has to be learned from an area that actually was not hukaf ledira. That could only be the Mishkan. It cannot be the Mikdash. Like I said, a lot is written on this Tosos. So again, Tosos says we don't learn from the Mikdash because there were shomrim b'layla. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in Agos Yavitz on this Tosfos and the Netziv in Merome Sada that the Mishkan also had shomrim all night. Pasuk that we learned the mitzvah Shemira was said with regard to the Mishkan. Pasuk says va'achonim lefnei haMishkan shomrim mishmeres haMikdash. So from there we learn that you need Shemira. It's really from the Mishkan that you need Shemira. So how could Tosfos say no? We can't learn from the Mikdash. The Mikdash needed Shemira, and therefore that makes it hukaf. The Mishkan also needed Shmira. So they're metarets that you have to say that only a Dira Kavua is considered a Dira. The Mishkan by its very nature was not Kavua. It was constantly taken up, taken back down, and put up somewhere else. The Mikdash had a Dira Kavua. The Mishkan had no Dira Kavua. It was only Lasha'a. So that's the answer that some of the Achronim give. The Stipler in the Gilyonos Kilos Yaakov says that the Mishkan, the Shomrim didn't have a special booth, a special house to guard from. They would just hang out in the Avir HaChatzir. They would hang out in the space of the Chatzir, and that's not called the Dira. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they had Lishchos for the Kohanim who were Shomer, so that became a Dira for them, and therefore it's considered a Dira Lagabe the Mikdash, even though the Mishkan also needed Shmira, but the Shmira of the Mishkan didn't come along with a Dira. Another point to make from this Tosos, that Tosos had asked, why don't we learn the Shir Karpif from the Azaros of the Mikdash, so that Nagos Marsham, he's Medayik from Tosos, that Tosos tells that the Azaros of the Mikdash must have not had a roof on them. Since Tosos later on, Daf Tzadi Yemen Aleph writes that a Karpif that's Makura doesn't have a Din of a Karmel, that no matter how big it is, if it has a roof on it, even if it's Yosemite based assign, you're allowed to carry in it. That it won't have a din of a karmelis. That's what the Prima Gadim writes also in Simon Shin Nun Ches in the Mishpat Zav, that a carpet, if it has a roof on it, Chazal were never goes there an isra of tiltal if it's roofed. So it's Muchach from Tosos that the Azoros must not have been Makuros, otherwise what's Tosos Kasha? How could Tosos say, why don't we learn from the Azoros in the Mikdash? Of course you can't learn from the Azoros in the Mikdash. They had a roof. Elamai holds that they didn't have a roof. However, there's Yerushalmi in the third paragraph that says that Harabayis was Makura. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira also says Harabayis kulo haya Makura. The entire area was roofed. If that's the case, it would be Mutal Tatal Barabayis even if it was not Hukaf Ladira, because it has a roof on it, and that alone is enough to make it Mutter. However, according to the Yerushalmi, you could say that it's not the entire Harabayis of Makura, only the area of the Itztava'os around the Harabayis, of the platform that surrounded the Harabayis, that part had a roof. But the Emtza Harabayis, maybe there was no roof on it. In fact, Tos Yantiv quotes from the Shilta Giborim that only the middle of the Harabayis, Makom HaMizbeach, did not have a roof on it, because that part had to be Golo L'Shamayim, smoke would go up, but the rest of it did have a roof. And Tos Yantiv says, Shkagi Hishayatsu Milfanav, he had some mistake. mistake. It's not really true that only the area of the Itztavaos actually had a roof. There is a discussion in Poskim. What if you have, again, based on our Tos, the Aruch HaShulchan says, what if you have a Beis HaKnesses that's outside of the Eruv, that's outside of where the city is, and it has a roof and walls like a regular shul would be? Is that called Hukaf L'dira? Meaning, what if it's huge? It's more than Beis HaSayim. It's a very large building. So is that called Hukaf L'dira? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Shin Nun Ches, Sif Vav, a Beis HaKnesses Mitzad Atzma was not called Mukaf L'dira, even though people learn there and they daven there, because the Gemara says that the Mishkan is not called Mukaf L'dira. And what did they do in the Mishkan? They did Avoda. So what's our Avoda? Our Avoda is Tefillah. Our Avoda is Torah. Is we Avoda Shebelev? Is we Tefillah? Is we Torah? Different Mamari Chazal. So what we do in the Beis HaKnesses is exactly comparable to what they would do in the Mishkan. And the Mishkan is not called Hukaf L'dira. So Beis HaKnesses that you have outside of the Eruv, outside of the city, and it's larger than a Beis HaSayim, would be usher to be metaltel in the shul more than Dalet Amos. You wouldn't be allowed to bring your sitter to your seat. You wouldn't be allowed to be metaltel more than Dalet Amos. However, he says it's an unusual situation to have such a large shul and that it's outside the Eruv, but he said that would be the halacha. Prima Gadim assumes this way as well. Prima Gadim in Simen Shin Samach Vav and Eshel Avram assumes also that it's, even though it's not Matsui, that would be the halacha. However, the Chazon Ish and Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Yud says B'Pshitos that a Beis HaKnesses is considered Mukaf L'dira. And he says maybe there's there's room to be Mechalek between a Beis HaKnesses where you're Noheg the Isser Achilu Shtia and a Beis HaKnesses where people are not Noheg in Isser Achilu Shtia. I mean, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses normally demands that there be no eating or drinking in the shul, but some people build a shul with a tanai or whatever, and they allow eating and drinking. They don't give it the full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So that's the old kiddush in the shtibel, right? A kiddush in the room where they have tefillah. So that doesn't have the full level of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Maybe that is more like a dira. It's more Hamish. Hamish means it's right. It's a home. It's Hukaf L'dira. So that would be maybe that would be different than a place that's treated with the full level of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Okay,
It has a roof.
Yeah. Well, that's if you hold that having a roof matters. It's Machlokes Rishonim. Tosfos holds if it has a roof, so then you're right, then you're good. But not everyone agrees to Tosfos. Okay, so that was all part one of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Vayter, the Mishnah Vayter rather, part two of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, if the Karfif is exactly the size of Beis HaSayim, but what if it's rectangular and not square? How much do we allow it to not be square? So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Im haisa orcha yeser al rachba, afilu ama achas, ein metaltel metocha. If its length is even one ama more than the width, which the Gemara later is going to explain means that the length is can't even be one ama more than double the width. It doesn't mean one ama more than the width. It means one ama more than double the width, ein metaltel metocha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, afilu Orcha pishnayim barachva metaltum betocha. That even if the length is twice the width, you're allowed to be metaltal inside of it. So the Gemara is going to explain. Wait, what are they arguing about? They just if we retranslate Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that the length can't be more than one amma double the width. So he's saying that it can be exactly double the width. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi is also saying, that it can be double the width. So what are they actually arguing about? So the Gemara is going to explain that the real machlokas is whether there's any preference for a square area or not. Meaning, is that a l'chadchila at least? Rabbi Yossi holds that there is at least l'chadchila, you should try to have it square, whereas Rabbi Lezer holds, there's no need whatsoever to try to have it square. And then finally, third part of the Mishnah, three chidushim of Rabbi Elai. Rabbi Elai, Shemati min Rabbi Lazar, Vafilu hi ka base kor. Rabbi Lazar allows carrying in a karfif as big as a base kor. That's 15 times bigger than a base asayim. A kor is 30 sitin. So it's 15 times larger than a base asayim. So that's kula number one. Vechain Shemati mimenu, I also heard from Rabbi Lazar, says Rabbi Elai, that Anshe Chatzar, Shashach, Achechem, and Vlo Irev, Beso Asr Milahachmas Lotzilo, Avalahem Mutter. If one member of a Chatzar forgot to join in the Erev, he's not allowed to carry into or out of his house, but other people can. The other members of the chatzer can. We'll explain in the Gemara. And the third halacha he says, and this is where Kadosh Baruch Hu dropped the Daf Yomi coincidence in our laps. V'chein shamati mimenu sheyotzin ba'ar kavlin bepesach v'chazarti al kol talmidav v'bikashi lichaver v'lo mitzasiv. That he holds that our kavlin can be used for maror on Pesach, but none of the other talmidim seem to have heard this from him. I seem to have been, says Rabbi Lai, I looked around the shiur room, I thought other people were there, but for some reason I'm the only one that had this in my notes, that our kavlin are mutter to use for maror on Pesach. What exactly are our kavlin? What's this about with the accuser from maror? So Rashi says that our kavlin is maror. That's what the shem maror. That if you look in the Mishnah Meseches Pesachim, the Mishnah lists off five minim that are kosher from maror, and the Gemara says that those minim are listed in order of preference. So the first one is chasa. Chasa is the ideal thing to use for maror. The Gemara explains that chasa even has a remez in the word chasa, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al Yisrael, that Hashem is rachmanus on klal Yisrael. So we dafka want to use chasa, which we translate as lettuce for maror. That's why lettuce is the ideal thing to use for maror. The Sefer HaChinuch has a very fascinating line. Sefer HaChinuch says, yeah, like the Gemara says, the language means something, that it reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al klal Yisrael, says the Sefer HaChinuch, and that's a hider mitzvah in maror. To dafka use something that whose name reminds you of an important message is a hider mitzvah. It's a big chiddush in hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah is normally a din in the chefza shel mitzvah, a more beautiful chefza shel mitzvah, a din in the maisa mitzvah, like you have the Rashbam at the beginning of the 10th parak of Pesachim, that you should be hungry when you eat your matzah, because that's hider mitzvah, because you go at it more with more eagerness when you're hungry. But the Sefer HaChinuch probably is being mechadesh to us. They have a hider in the kavana, that when you're reminded about the fact that this means something, so that's a hider in a person's kavana. That's also called a hider mitzvah. But along that list, ironically, the mitzvah is called maror. One of the vegetables that's not the ideal vegetable, chasa, it's one of the other vegetables, is actually called maror. That's one of the names of the vegetables, but maror is not the best thing to use for maror. So the maror that we're referring to are these arkavlin. That's how Rashi says. Rashi on Chavav and Beis Din explain that it's a sieve of a hagadol saviv hadekel. It's this thick thing that grows around the palm tree, and it wraps around the palm tree like lulave gifanim, like branches of vines. So Tosos Chadashim asks, and Mishayas and Pesachim, the Bar Tanur explains that tamcha is the sieve hagadol saviv hadekel. One of the other things that are listed on that tamcha is the thing that grows around the palm tree. I think we generally assume that tamcha is horseradish. I think that's the one we translate as horseradish. That's already machlokas in the Rishonim, how exactly to define what tamcha is. But again, all of these different shittos, what exactly, where on the list this item is. But he says, "Bikashi li chaver v'lo mitzasi." I couldn't find anyone who agrees with me. Why couldn't he find anyone who agrees with him? So the Ritva writes that if you hold that our kavlin is a min zra'im, the reason no one agreed with him is because, meaning, according to those shittos, that our kavlin rather is not a min zra'im, the reason no one agreed with him is because they hold that a maror needs to be a min zera. It has to be a zera. But if you hold our kavlin is not a zera, so that's a problem. So, but Rabbi Elazar held that a maror doesn't have to be min zra'im. According to the Rav, who holds that our kavlin is also a min zera, the reason lo hodu lo chaveru must be that this min must not have some of the characteristics that maror has. He says it doesn't have sraf and lachus, it doesn't have moisture, maybe it's very, very dry, something like that. It's lacking something that the other minim have. As Rav Shechter always quotes Professor Felix, that in his research he found that all of the other vegetables on the list are all green leafy vegetables. So horseradish doesn't seem to fit the criteria of everything else that counts as maror. That's why he thought that maybe horseradish wouldn't be good for maror, because it just doesn't fit with everything else on the list. And Alicha Shlomo, I don't think it quotes Professor Felix by name, but it says that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that whatever findings we have traditions also, and that our traditions go back where people have families that have been using for centuries already horseradish, so we don't have to worry about the fact that someone discovered that, you know, with the linguistics and with everything else, however the academic way of studying the Mishnayos, that it's not a reference to horseradish. We could assume that we could rely on our Mesorah that horseradish is one of the five minim that are listed in the Mishnah. It's not the most powerful preferable one, the most preferable is lettuce, but you can rely on that horseradish is also one of the five minyanim. That's how Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Halicha Shlomo. Okay, so that's the Mishnah with the three parts. Now says the Gemara, Ma'itana d'ktani va'od, a very strange way for a strange word to begin a Mishnah with. Va'od Amar Rabbi Ben Bava. Why? What do we just say that we then say va'od? So either Mishum d'tana lechada. Well, maybe we're saying Vodam Rabbi Ben Bava because in the last Mishnah, Rabbi Ben Bava just taught us Luchumra that we can only use Pasi Biraos when you have Tartil Malyusa, when it's a Be'er and it's used by the Rabbim. It's a spring of water and it's used by the masses. So Rabbi Ben Bava taught us another Chiddush that Gina Karfif, Shivimam of Shiraim, Shivimam of Shiraim, our Mishnah that needs to have a guard booth, it needs to have Mamish Adira inside of it. So a second Chumra of Rabbi Ben Bava. So, frankly, Gemara, is that enough to start a mission with the word va'od? V'Rabbi Yehuda d'tana le'chad l'chumra v'ktani achriti v'lo ktani va'od. We have Rabbi Yehuda earlier in the Masechta where he says one thing that's l'chumra, and then we have another thing that's l'chumra, and it doesn't say va'od. Meaning, he said ad beis asayim, you could have more than that, you can't. And then he has yisal kenel etzadin. We had the idea of when you have traffic coming through. Rabbi Yehuda's one that required that you have to divert the traffic. And it didn't say va'od on the second statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So don't tell me just because there are two chumras, one right after the other, that it's automatically going to use the word va'od. So answer the Gemara, there's a big difference. Hasam afsakur rabbanan, hacha lo afsakur rabbanan. Over here, the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava are mamish, back to back to each other. There's no other shita that pops up in between the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But when we were talking about Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, so Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, or what we call Stam Rabbi Yehuda, by him, even though he said two statements in two consecutive Mishnayos, but the Chachamim interrupted. The Chachamim interrupted after the first one, and they said their own Shita, and then we went back to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's why it doesn't say Va'od over there. So, Frakta Gemara, really, does that ruin the Va'od, the possibilities of using Va'od? V'kol hechad afsakur rabbanan lo katani Va'od? Whenever you have afsakur rabbanan, we don't say Va'od? V'har Rabbi Eliezer desuka dafsakur rabbanan v'katani Va'od? In Mesecha Sukkah, Rabbi Eliezer has chumra in two consecutive mishnayos, and the rabbanon are mafsik, and still it says the word va'od. Rabbi Eliezer has a couple of unusual shitos in Masechta Sukkah. Number one, he says that in a sukkah, a person has to have 14 meals in their sukkah over the course of the 7 days of sukkahs, meaning, unlike the sheet of the Chachamim, who hold that the first night you must eat a kazayis in the sukkah. That we learned tesvav from Chag HaMatzos, that you need to eat the first night in the sukkah. After that, the Chacham say, if you're hungry, you got to eat in the sukkah. If you're hungry and you're going to eat, so you got to eat in the sukkah. If you're not going to eat, so don't eat. So then you don't have to be in the sukkah. Rabbi Blood says, no. Just like when we say Teshu came to Duru, it means what a person normally does in his Dira, in the place where he lives, you must do in the Sukkah. Not that you should treat the Sukkah like your house and do whatever you want to do. Whatever is a normal thing to do in the house, you must do in the Sukkah. And since it's normal to eat two meals a day in the house, you must eat two meals a day in the Sukkah. So that's Chumra number one of Rebbe Elazar. 14 meals must be eaten in the Sukkah over the course of the Yom Tov of Sukkahs. And the Chum say, nah, ain't the Dover Kitzvah. That there's no set amount of meals that you need to eat in the sukkah. And when you're hungry, go out in the sukkah. And then the next Mishnah is Va'od Amar Rabbi Elazar. What if you don't eat in the sukkah on the first night of Yantiv? So he says, Yashlim Leile Yom Tov Ha'achron. That you should be Mashlim on the last night of Yantiv of Sukkahs to eat then in the sukkah. So it sounds that, so it's a Va'od, even though the Chachamim interrupt in the middle and they say, Ein L'davar Kitzvah. So answers the Gemara, Hasim B'milsei Huda Afsukua, Hacha B'milsei Achriti Afsukua. Over there by sukkah, yes, the Chum interrupted in the middle, but they interrupted on his topic, meaning he had said that you have to have 14 meals. They said, Ein L'davar Kitzvah, about what you just said, Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnais was only talking about Pasi Biraos being a base of Sayim, and the Rabbanan responded with Gina, Karpev, Deer, Sohar, with all these other types of enclosures, which isn't only what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about. So since the Afsakur Rabbanan with something else outside of the area of Pasi Biraos, that's why it's called a Hefsik, and that's why by Rabbi Yehuda it doesn't say Va'od. But by Rabbi Elazar in Sukkah, and by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava over here on Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, we do say Va'od because there's either no interruption, or whatever interruption there is at least exactly on the topic, exactly on the point that they were discussing. Good. Rabbi Kiva, that's all technicality. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu ein ba echad mikaleilu metaltum betocha. Again, in the first part of the Mishnah, remember, we had three shitos of what a karpif needs in order to be able to carry in it. Rabbi Ben Bava says it needs an actual dira in there. Rabbi Yehuda said it needs any sort of source of water. And Rabbi Kiva is one that said, it doesn't need anything. It just can't be any larger than 70 plus by 70 plus amos. So Rabbi Akiva, haimet tanakama. Wait a second. Isn't Rabbi Akiva saying the same thing then as the Tanakama? That's just the very basics. Meaning, says Rashi, which Tanakama? Tanakama da amru lo. Lo amru beis asayim el gino le karpev. Avalim haye v'chulei. Al nehechadika beis dira afilu tuva ubishalok of ledira beis asayim k'Rabbi Akiva. That Tanakama holds that if it's a beis dira, it could be way larger than beis asayim. But when it's not hukaf ledira, so good. Beis asayim and less is good enough. So isn't Rabbi Akiva saying the same thing? That you don't need any sort of dira. You don't need anything that makes it like a dira. Once it's beis asayim or less, that's all you need. So Rabbi Akiva is saying the exact same thing as the Tanakama. Answers the Gemara, no, he's not. Ika binayu dover muat. Nafkamina between them is a very tiny amount. As Rashi explains, Shebeis HaSayim Yeser al Shivim Amav Shirayim Revuim. A Beis HaSayim is actually slightly larger than 70 plus by 70 plus Amos. Kedetani Lekaman, the Tanakama Shari BeBeis HaSayim Shleimim. The Tanakama would hold that if you have a full two Beis you have a full Beis HaSayim, Mamish 5,000 full square Amos, that's also Mutter. Ul Rabbi Akiva Shivim Vishirayim al Shivim Vishirayim, this low, Rabbi Akiva would say that no, only 70 plus by 70 plus, but if you have a full 5,000 square amos, that's where Rabbi Akiva would disagree. So that's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama. Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back in the Gemara, Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dover Muat Yesh, Al Shiva Amav Vishirayim, Velo Nasu Cham Bo Shir. There's that little extra bit on the Shiva Amav Vishirayim, but the Cham didn't give it an exact shir. The Kamashir Sasayim, Kachatra Mishkan. How big is the base Sasayim? Exactly the size of the Chatra Mishkan. So says Gemara, wait a second, Minani Mili. How do we know that the maximum dimensions of a karfav that we can carry in, what those maximum dimensions are? So we said it's a Chatra Mishkan. How do we know? How do we know that that's where we get it from? So I'm reviewing the Damar Krah. There's a remez in the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Orech HaChatzer, when describing the Chatzer of the Mishkan, it says that the length of the Chatzer is Mea Ba'ama, is 100 amos long, nothing wrong with that. And then it describes Verochav, and the width is Chamishim B'Chamishim. The width is 50 by 50. What do you mean 50 by 50? It's 50 by 100, right? So what does it mean, Chamishim B'Chamishim? What's the Pasuk telling me? So Amra Torah, what the Torah is giving us a remez to, is that Tol Chamishim V'Saviv Chamishim, that you should take two areas of 50 by 50 amos and make a square out of it. Meaning take the extra 50 by 50 amos square and add that to the existing 50 by 50 amos square, add that same amount of space around the 50 by 50 amos square, and then you'll end up with what's a base of sign, which you'll end up with 70 and change times 70 and change. That's what you have to say is the remez in the pasuk. That's what we're using as the remez. So says Gemara, that's a great remez for the pasuk. That can't possibly be pashut pshat in the pasuk. So says Gemara, pashti dekrab b'maiksiv. What's the pashtus of the pasuk? So Amar Abayi, hamid mishkan al sfas chamishim kedei shei chamishim amal lefan avasram amal lekal ruach v'ruach. Says no, the pashut pshat in the pasuk is that you should, where in this chatzar should the mishkan actually be? So the Mishkan should be with 50 amos in front of it. You put the edge of the Mishkan right on the 50 yard line, right in the 50 amma mark. It's an amma's not a yard, but right in the 50 amma mark. And then you have the Mishkan itself, which is 30 amos long. And then you'll have 20 amos behind the Mishkan. So you have 20 amos l'kal ruach v'ruach around the Mishkan. That's the idea of what it's telling me. To do the of chamishim b'chamishim. That's the pashtus of the pasuk. Rabbi Lazar Amar Haisa Archa v'chulei. Then we had Rabbi Lazar said that if the length was one amma more than the width, then it's no good. So says in Gemara Vatani, Rabbi Lazar Amar Haisa Archa Yesal Pishnayim Baracha Afilu Amma Chasei Metaltum Metolcha. But wait a second, we have a brisa where Rabbi Lazar says something entirely different. Not that the length can't be one amma more than the width, but that the length can't be more than one amma double the width. So what's going on over here? Amar Bibi Barabaye, Ki tanan nami masnisin yes al pi shnayim berachva tanan. No, what Rabbi Elazar is telling us in the Mishnah, we pointed this out when we read the Mishnah, what Rabbi Elazar is really saying is that you can't have the length be one amma more than double the width. But he's not saying you can't have the length be more one amma more than the width. Of course you can. It could be somewhat rectangular. It just can't be super rectangular. It can't be a very long rectangle. Ihachi hainu Rabbi Yossi. But wait a second. Then Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi are saying the same thing, because Rabbi Yossi also said that you can't have that the length could be twice the width. That's what Rabbi Yossi said you're allowed to have. Double the width. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi are then saying the same thing. So you could be nayu rivua de rivua rabbanon. No, nafkamina is there a din l'charchila that it should be squared at least? Is that at least a din l'charchila? So that's how Rashi explains in the last medium-sized line. Rav Lozis over arka yosem yishnayim berachva ein metaltlin umiyu ikara arka pishnayim berachva kedichsiv v'lesle ruvua umiyu imerava lo mitzra bahachi kedichtaniyim arka also yosem yishnayim berachva ein metaltlin habatir mi pishnayim metaltlin Rav Yosis over meruva'as ikar ul L'charchila, aruya marinan hachi. Rabbi Yossi would hold, L'charchila, we would tell you to make it square. We want it to be square. However, b'di'eved, up until, length could be up until twice the width. Rabbi Lazar doesn't think so. Rabbi Lazar thinks, L'charchila, it could be the length should be twice the width. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Mishnah then went on to tell us that Rabbi Yossi Shita was that it should be double. So, Itmar, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Amr Rabbi Domer Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel passings like Rabbi Yossi, that a rectangular carpet is fine as long as the length isn't double the width, isn't more than double the width. So, Rabbi Yamar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yamar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that we pass on Rabbi Kiva that no dira or watchman's booth is necessary to allow carrying in the karpif. That in order for one to be permitted to carry in the karpif, you don't need any special dira item there. It just needs to be less than 70 plus by 70 plus amos. Vitzravai Lukula, they're both passing Lukula, meaning they're both telling me different kulas. One is telling me a kula about the shape, the other is telling me kula about the usage of the karpiv, but they're both teaching me independent kulas. Utsricha. Diashmi alach Rabbi Yossi. Had we only said that the alach is like Rabbi Yossi with regard to the shape, have mina adika shomiru beis dira, I would have thought, yeah, that's about the shape, but in terms of the usage, you need an actual beis dira in there. Kamash milan alach Rabbi Kiva. That's why you had to tell me that the alach is like Rabbi Kiva, that you don't need an actual beis dira in there. Diashmi alach Rabbi Kiva. And had he just said the alach is like Rabbi Kiva, have mina darach v'katan lo. Kamash milan alach Rabbi. So I would have thought that Aruch V'katan, that if it's rectangular, it's no good. So that's why he has to tell me that it looks like Rabbi Yossi, which is, again, just the Gemara saying that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi have nothing to do with each other. They're completely different issues. One is about the shape of the karpif, and one is about the usage of the karpif. So they're completely different issues. So that's why you need to paskin on both of those issues. Now, karpif shu yosim beis hasayim, shehuka fladira. Let's say you have a carpet that's larger than Beis HaSayim and it was not Hukaf Ladira. So now you have, I'm sorry, that was Hukaf Ladira. So if it was Hukaf Ladira, it's allowed to be larger than a Beis HaSayim and you're allowed to carry there. Right? It's surrounded for the purposes of normal living, so even though it's bigger than a Beis HaSayim, you're allowed to carry there. Nizra Rupo, Hareu Kagina Va'aser. If the majority of it gets planted, though, with vegetables, then it would be then it would be like a Gina and it's Aser. Nata rubo, Nizra rubo is different. Nizra rubo is the majority is planted with vegetables, which are not a normal living usage. Nata rubo is the majority is planted with trees, and that would still be a normal living usage. So nata rubo, hareu kichatzer mutter. If it's planted with trees, so then it's like a chatzer, and it's totally mutter. That's the statement. So now what the Gemara is going to say, they're going to qualify this statement a little bit. We're going to have three versions of what Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says to qualify the statement. We're not going to get to all three today. Nizra Rubo, if the majority of it is planted with vegetables, so we said that it's no good that it's going to be usher because vegetables aren't a normal living usage of the area. So Amr Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, lo amrin eli yosir mi beis hasayim. That's only true when the area of Zriya itself is more than beis hasayim, because that area now becomes a karmelis, a karfif yosir mi beis hasayim, that's not hukaf ladira, is a karmelis, and the area that's not Nizra is a chatzer, so now you have a karmelis and a chatzer that are bordering on each other. So that's where you're going to have a problem. The karmelis and the chatzer can't border on each other. Avol beis hasayim mutter. But if the area that you planted itself is only a beis hasayim, where it's going to be mutter on its own right, even if it's not made for dira, even if it's Nizra with vegetables, it's less than a base of sayim, so it's going to be mutter. So even though the makom of the zriya is called the karpef, and the makom where it's not nizra is called the chatzer, both the karpef and the chatzer are mutter to be metaltalin. So the two areas that are parutz to each other are different in title, but they're the same in halacha, and therefore you're allowed to carry in each area. So keman hu we assume like Rabbi Shimon, where it must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon that you could have two areas that have different titles that you're that border on each other, and you're still allowed to carry from you're still allowed to carry in each of them. Ditzan Rabbi Shimon Omer Echel Gagos Vechel Chatzeros Vechel Karpifos Rishos Achas Hain Lekelim Shashav Selutochan V'lo Lekelim Shashav Selchabayis. Can't carry from the house to them, but for kelim that are in them, it's totally fine. So Rabbi Shimon Ami Kivin Din Nizra Rubo Havei Humiuta. So frankly, Gemara, but wait a second. According to Rabbi Shimon, even once it's rov is nizra, so then the miut should be batel to the rov. The chatzah should therefore be batel to the karpef, and therefore the whole thing should have a din of a karpef, and it should be a karpef that tells him base asayim, because the whole area again is larger than a base asayim. That was the case that we're dealing with, and the whole thing should be aser. So how did this statement of Rav Huna ben Rav Shua make any sense? So Gemara says, no, take two on Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. Yitmar hachitmar hamiuta shari. What Rav Huna ben Rav Shua meant to say is that if the minority of it were planted, it would be mutter. If you assume like Rabbi Shimon, if the minority of this area is planted, so you have the area that's a chatzer that could be larger than a beis hasayim. Then you have the area that's nizra, but it's less than a beis hasayim, and it's a minority of the total area, and that's when it's going to be mutter, even though the two areas are different in name. We'll get to the third version of Rav Huna ben Rav Shua Bez Hashem tomorrow.